Blog Talk Radio.
Someone facing incredible obstacles in your life. I want you to lean on God and trust his flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do
the
impossible.
I know he can.
So you got to know that God can do the impossible.
I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle.
I know he can.
I've seen him do
it.
Whatever problem you've got. Just let it go. Just give it to God. He'll work it out. How do I know? How do I know what God can do? I've seen him do it. 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 Long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you when your back is against the wall. Just know that God will come through for you. Listen,
when your life has gone straight, you reserve and cover you with his grace. That's how God works.
He'll erase your past.
He'll erase your past.
If you repent,
people can't have a singular in your face. That's how God works.
He just delivered my friend's mother from a 30-year drug addiction. Don't you tell me God can't work miracles. Over and over and over again.
Seen him do it. I know he'll do it. I want to tell you, he'll do it for you. Just got to believe in it. You got to believe that he'll do it for you. If you'll believe today that he is able to do all that you can even think or ask, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm truly happy to have each and every one of you all. Got lots to try to get into today. Lots going on here. But brothers and sisters, trust me. God is good. Hallelujah. And he is able to do above or you can even think or ask him to do. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. The word says, because this is your will for us in Christ Jesus, that we be thankful. We're thankful, Father God, for your word, because it's your word, Father God, that teaches us who we are and what we are. I thank you, Father God, for your healing power. I thank you, Father God, that in your name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have healed us, and we're going to claim it. We're going to declare and decree it right now that by your stripes, we are healed. We are healed mentally as well as physically. Right now, Heavenly Father, I believe healing exists and it lives. Jesus is Lord over my life, meaning he's Lord over sickness, disease, which has no power over me. I am forgiven. I'm free from sin and guilt. I'm dead to sin, but alive to your righteousness. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that the Bible says that you have bore our sins and in your body. You bore our sickness in your body. Therefore, I'm dead to sin, but alive unto you, God. I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Father God, we've been made whole because Jesus bore our sickness and our pain. Therefore, I give no place to sickness or pain, for God sent his word to heal me. Heal all of us according to Psalms 107 and 20. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For you given your angels, Heavenly Father, charge over us. They keep us. Keep me, Father God, in the pathway of your life, or of your kind of life. And I thank you for it. Praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that is your word that declare and decree that we are the body. We're part of your temple. So the Holy Spirit. So I make demands on my own body to line up to the Word of God. Become what the Word says I am. Every chemical, every organ, everything that needs to line up to the Word of God, in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree it right now. Every tissue, every organ, line up, function like you were designed to function. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And Satan, we want you to know that your assignment is off. It has been canceled here on this broadcast. It has been canceled on the people of God on this broadcast. And we're casting down every high thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And we're bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, we say this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody agreed with the prayer. They said amen and hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, we're talking about a subject that's really is real dear to me at the moment because of what I was faced with this weekend. What I was faced with this weekend, I won't go through all that. But I will say this, why should you call yourself well every day when your body tells you different? Why should you call yourself healed when in the physical realm and in the mental realm, you don't see it? Why should you do that? Why should you be calling yourself free of sin? We've been taught that sin is all around us.
Yes, yes.
Why should you do that? Because, I've gotten people mad at me, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you, and it doesn't really bother me because, see, they think they're not mad at me. They're mad at God. They're mad at God's word. The only way we can declare that we are saved is by faith. The only way you can declare your healing is by faith. And you do that by speaking it. That's why we're going to go right back to it in the book of Joel. We're going to go back to the book of Joel. I believe it was the I'm going to go somewhere else. But let me go on back to the book of Joel right quick. And then we'll get back to this other. In Joel 3 and verse 10, let's see here. Are you able to read, Evangelist William?
Yes, I'll do it.
Okay, Pastor, you're able to read out the Messenger Bible? All right, cool. Well, we're going to ask Evangelist William, if you'll read from the book of Joel. I'm going to ask you to read from the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, if you be so kind.
Yes, Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen.
Amen. And good afternoon, everyone. Reading from the Message Bible. But I'm going to reserve your crime. I'm going to free those slaves. I'll have done to you what you did to them. I'll sell your children as slaves to your neighbors, and they'll sell them to the far-off Sabines. God's verdict. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's Joel 3 and verse 10.
Yeah.
Would you read that out of, Pat?
Out of the Message Bible.
Okay.
Okay, I could read it from the New Living. Make a little claim of here.
Okay.
And it says, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Amen.
Amen. God wants us to understand that even though we don't see this like that, but we can believe for it. We can act on it. So he said, even though you may not feel like you're able, well, I won't get into the farming part because y'all about like me, we ain't grew up on no farm. But we get wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
That even though you're weak, if you declare that you're strong, you will become strong. That's what he's saying. The bottom line of this here, that's what he's saying. You have to say, like last week, we were talking about grace, for instance, and we'll get back to it. Do you know, I think it was Friday, and we're going to go back to grace. But Friday, over here in Ephesians 4:29, I want you all to see this. So go to Ephesians 4:29. And Friday, we were talking about being under the grace of God. We always just think grace is something that we're supposed to receive. No, God expects for us to operate in grace. He expects for us to live in grace. He expects for us to be part of grace, because that's what we were called to do. That's what we were called to do. But you have to believe in it. If you don't believe in the grace of God, then you don't believe that his grace is sufficient. What is so powerful? What that mean? That means that, hey, everything you need is in grace. It's there. Not only is it a job, a card, for a better way of saying it, not only is it a get-out-of-jail card, but it's a card to stay out of jail, because that's what grace is. It's sufficient. It's adequate. It will get you over. It will get you through. It may not look like it. It may not seem like it's working to you. But remember Romans 8:28, and we know that all things are working together for your good. You know what? Because that's grace working. That's grace. But listen, brothers and sisters, we are to minister grace. That's our ministry. We've been called to do this. We've been called to live in the grace of God, operating in his grace. So over in Ephesians 4:29, read that for me, please.
Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Amen.
Yeah, so when he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, most of us immediately, we think of cursing, swearing, saying all kinds of bad words. And listen, brothers, that may be true. You should, but that's not what he's talking about here. When he's talking about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, remember, he's finna say something here. He's finna speak real loud. But, so you got to pay attention now. That which is good to the use of the edifying. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Edifying, building up. That's what edifying means. We're to build up. Edify. Instead of always talking down, instead of always talking unbelief, how about talking belief? How about edifying?
Yeah.
The person already going through it, that it may minister grace. See, you're ministering grace. Hello, somebody. You're ministering grace unto
yeah.
who? The hearers. Yeah. So how are they going to do that? Let we say they're strong. That's what you're supposed to do. Do we supposed to say they're strong? You're edifying that person. That person is not lying. When you tell them, hey, let the sick say they will, they're not lying. When you tell somebody, hey, God said, whatever area you're edifying them in, but I want you to understand, when I think about edifying, I really think about enlightening somebody. I think about educating somebody. See, when you use certain words, people don't want to hear because they feel like you're belittling them. You're not. You know, you're not. You're helping them. You're building them up. You're doing constructive things here. There's such a word as constructive criticism. Well, you may look at it like that, but understand that, like this is worthwhile, man. This is information. So when I'm sharing this with you, it ain't to criticize nobody. When I tell you the word of God says, let the sick say they well. I'm edifying you. I'm building you up. Go ahead on and speak that thing. I'm trying to enlighten you. I'm trying to be informative. I'm trying to educate you. I'm trying to explain this thing to you, man, that you can understand that grace will grace will do something that never been done in your life before. Because that's what it's designed to do. You know, that's what grace is designed. That's that unmerited favor. So when you're ministering grace to somebody, you're doing something for that person that they can't do for themselves. You're teaching them what the word of God say.
Yes, amen.
We should be illuminating the word of God. So when you're edifying, you should be illuminating the word of God. That's what we should be doing. How we do that, you ask? Through grace. Through grace. That it may minister. We're talking about ministering grace now. Ministering grace unto the hearers. Not to everybody, but to the hearers. Well, what do that mean? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, everybody's not hearers.
Amen.
Now we'll go back to that scripture we was at yesterday. Remember, what was that over there in Luke? Well, I want you to read this because I want you to see, brothers and sisters, you're not telling anybody anything than what God say. So when you read Luke 8:52. Jesus wasn't lying. They said she did. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said she was dead. Jesus didn't agree with it. They did. But in Luke 8:52, read that.
Luke 8:52 from the King James Version. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but seeketh. Amen.
Amen, amen. Then the Message Bible, everyone was crying and carrying on over her. Jesus said, don't cry, she didn't die, she's sleeping. Amen.
Yeah, they all said she dead, but Jesus said, she is not dead. So the question is, she died or not? You see what I'm saying? And you know he couldn't have been sinning because of 2 Corinthians 5:21. So you know he wasn't sinning then. And we talked on that yesterday about how God has set before us life and death is in the power of the tongue. But when you understand that, then you begin to do what Romans 4:17 says. So let's go there. Now, some of these scriptures you may think, okay, we're going over, but it's for a reason, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. In Romans 14:17, how that reads? Okay, I lost her. Wait a minute. I lost Evangelist William. Okay, you're back now, Evangelist William. Romans 4:17.
I'm having a problem, Pastor. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, one more. And what was the verse and chapter?
Romans 4:17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of my nation. Before him who he believed, even God, who he quickened the deed and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Quickened the dead, I'm sorry.
Amen. From the Message Bible, we call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many people. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, listen, brothers and sisters. Please hear this. When you're calling those things to be not as though they were, you're operating like Abraham. Abraham had to go around telling people, hey, I'm the father of many nations. And he did everything he could. Hit Sarah and got old. And, well, how you going to be the father of many nations? Well, Hagar went into Abraham. And Abraham went into Hagar. How you going to put it? Well, God had designed that he was going to be the father of every nation, all nations. The righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the bad, however you want to put it. So God had to allow Abraham to have children with Hagar. So those children, Abraham is father of. And when it comes to the righteous, Abraham was father over them with Sarah. But remember now, Sarah got 90-something years old. She ain't even had no child. But Abraham was still confessing that I'm the father of many nations. He still began to say. And the Bible said he didn't waver at the promises of God through unbelief. See, unbelief did not take over. He didn't allow that. And neither can we. Call yourself well when you have symptoms. Listen, brothers and sisters, I get it. I get it, man. It's not mentally. It can war on your mind. Here you're trying, you got symptoms and you telling yourself you well. Yes, to do that.
Yeah. Amen.
See, when the doctor give you all these pills and prescription, and the doctor tell you everything that's wrong with you, it is an act of faith. That's what he did. He done told you all this stuff. Now he's going to say, here, take this, take that. It's an act of faith. So faith is what? Faith is God, man. Faith is in his word. Faith is what we say.
Mm-hmm.
So by his stripes, we are healed, according to Isaiah 53:5.
Yeah.
He was, see, the Bible ain't lying when he said, by his stripes we heal. Because if that's a lie, then stop reading it. The problem is we don't want to believe it. That's when you began to see this. Believing requires a corresponding action. Even when things was dead, Abraham was required to call those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
Even though there was no light, he had to speak it. He had to act just like God. And for those that may not know that, that is part of that God ability that's in us, to act like God. Remember, we was created in his image after his likeness. We're to act like God. God called those things to be not as though they were. He told light to come out of darkness.
Yeah. Amen.
Now he allowing us as his children to begin to do the same thing. Speak that thing. Call that thing. You know, call it. That's what we're doing. You got to call yourself well. When you call yourself well, that's an act of faith, okay? That's all I want to tell you. It's an act of faith. I mean, we see these miracles that Jesus was doing in Mark 6 and 5, which is the only time Jesus is said to be around people that's unbelief, because they didn't want to believe. And because they don't believe, let me tell you what that means. That means that when you won't confess what the Word of God says, that means you don't believe it. When you won't confess, like for instance, Matthew 5:13-14. I'm going to have them read this. We're going to share a few scriptures here, and we won't be too much longer. But these are things that we need to declare and decree. In Matthew 5:13-14.
Matthew 5:13-14 from King James Version. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that bring out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Amen.
Amen.
Now, who gonna disagree with that? God called you to salt. Do you know what salt does?
Mm-hmm.
He called it that. Now, you may not call yourself that, but God is not lying. He spoke that into your life. So we got to call those things to be not as though they were. You have to let the sick say they will. There's no difference. God calling us the light of the world. Now, what we got to do is call ourselves that. See, that's how you build faith. You start calling yourself that and stop listening to what the enemy say. God say, you're the salt. You're to go and season the world.
Yeah.
And then you are to illuminate. You are to minister grace to these people. You are to let your light shine. So when you go around, you should be telling people, "Hey, I'm the light of the I'm the light of the world. Hey, that's what I am." Yeah. When you see me, you're seeing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you think salt is just limited to the table, you're not smarter than the fifth grader.
All right.
Salt is designed to give flavor. And in giving flavor, it is designed to enhance things. Preacher. Salt is designed to make it better, to bring out the best in there. God called us the salt of the earth. We're to go out and bring the best out of people, not the worst. Now, I don't want to get into all the medical terminologies and all that, but if you'll just accept the mirror, and you can do your own research, but if you could just get with this, when you take salt and pepper, you'll be surprised. Old folks, they didn't use too much more than salt and pepper. That's what they used to season they food with. Every now and then they throw ice. But I mean, they didn't have all the stuff they have today, like slap your mama and slap your daddy and this one, that, and the other. They didn't have all that stuff. They had salt and they had pepper.
Amen.
Salt ain't went nowhere yet, brothers and sisters. It still serves the same purpose, man. It doesn't say. So God telling us that's what we're to do.
Yeah. Help us so we go.
Yeah, that's what you are. You're the salt. Now, do we want to act like it? No, because we don't want to call ourselves. We don't want to get around our friends and tell them, "Hey, man, we're the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm the very righteousness of God." See, if Satan can keep you from talking like that, you're going to always be under his control. When he can get you to not say that you're healed when you have symptoms, he got you. Because, see, that's how we've been taught to live, by what we feel, what we see, what we think. That's what we were taught. It's time that we take our stands as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's time that we take our place. Rise up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To what? The call that's on your life. And the call that's on your life is a righteous call. In 1 Peter 2:24, we're going to get two more scriptures and we're going to just pick it up here tomorrow. But I want you to know, this is what God called you. He called you to do this. He's calling you that. And God ain't lying. Or you go tell him he's lying. You tell him you're not 2 Corinthians 5:21. You tell him you're not 1 Peter 2:24. But in 1 Peter 2:24, read that for me, please.
1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen, amen.
Praise God. Amen. From the Message Bible. He used his servant's body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Bible says that there was no sin found in him. There was no gall found in his mouth. Because they were checking to see if somebody had sinned. If it had been, it would have been revealed. But with nothing made known, Jesus had no sin in him. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin, God made to become sin for us. The only reason Jesus became sin for us so we could become righteous. So we could have that opportunity. So we can operate in that by faith. So we'll start declaring and decreeing that the word of God is true. With his own self bared our sin. Well, if he bared our sins, why are you trying to bear them?
Amen.
See, somebody got to help me. If he bared our sins and I got to bear them, somebody lying.
Yeah. Amen.
Your mind says, oh, you got to bear your own. No, you don't bear no sins. Jesus bared your sin. That's why grace came in, because you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take this. Oh, God, the rest of the day to talk about sin to prove that you couldn't bear your sin. Just like sin, so it is with calling those things to be not as though they were. Jesus bore our sin so we could have his righteousness. That's what that scripture is saying. Being dead to sin. So you should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. So we can live unto Christ now.
Yeah, thank you.
Remember, we was all like sheep gone astray. But now we return to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul.
Yeah, amen.
That's Christ, man. When you acknowledge that you were, you got to call those things to be not as though they were. I am the righteousness of God by faith. I am partaker of his divine nature. See, Satan will always plant a seed in your mind to say, don't say that. Guess why he says that? Guess why Satan tells you not to say that? Think about it. Think about it. Why Satan would tell you not to say that? Why do you think he would tell you not to say Joel 3:10? Well, wait till you feel better. Wait till the sun is shining. Wait, get by yourself and say it. Don't say it in the midst of the congregation. Don't say it around folks that knows you. And they're hearing you and they're seeing you. Don't say that. No, you say it right in the midst of the enemy's face. Let him know. Yeah. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Yes, I'm weak, but hey, I'm strong. So I'm not going to talk about my weakness. I'm going to talk about my strength. That's what Paul got off him. Remember, he was bragging about his, I'm weak, but hey. When I think about his God's strength, how he strengthened me, when he started thinking about the grace of God and how God's grace was sufficient.
Amen.
When he started thinking about how adequate God's grace was, when he started realizing that for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not works. Yes, if any man shall boast and brag about it, man, Paul went showing off. thinking about it. Thinking about how God's grace was sufficient. He said, I don't mind these infirmities. For God told me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, you can't get that perfect stuff till you become weak. When you acknowledge that, hey, I can't do this. I need Christ. See, when you acknowledge that there's a weakness there, Satan don't ever want you to do that. The last thing he wants you to do is humble yourself. He wants you to always operate in pride, He wants you to always be powerful. Hey, when it comes to the word of God, Paul said, man, I glory in my infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I'm, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most glad. So therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, I totally agree with that. I'd rather glory. Listen, man, I'd rather glory in my infirmity so Christ's power can rest on my life.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're gonna put a pocket right there for the rest of the day. Anybody else have any other thing they want to share? Anything you want to share before we leave? Hallelujah.
I just wanted to read that scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9, from the King James and also the New Living Translation. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then from the New Living Translation, it reads, each time he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Amen.
See, when the symptoms are there, you may have a cold, whatever symptoms is there, that's when you saw glory. Hey, by his stripes, I'm healed. And you're going to be boast, because his grace is sufficient. It's adequate. Then you turn right around, that same grace that saved you will heal you. That same grace will call you to minister grace to other people. Then let me tell you who the best. You know what? If I had to deal with a doctor or ex-crackhead and I was on crack, if I had a choice, now if I was on crack or been on crack, and I had a choice for a doctor, therapist, whatever, or ex-crackhead. Now watch this. I'd rather choose an ex-crackhead. Now, I may not make a lot of sense, but I'm going to tell you, the ex-crackhead, they know. They've been there, done that. They know the power of God. They've watched it. They've experienced it. So when Paul talks about the grace of God, it's because he's been through it. He knows about the grace of God. He experienced it. God told him, say, hey, that's adequate. That'll help you. It'll help you to preach. It'll help you to minister grace to people. It'll help you to reconciliation. It'll help you bring people that same grace. We just hadn't been taught to depend on the grace of God for everything. So going forward, we have to depend on the grace of God, man. That's the stuff that make it happen for us. That's what's going to make it work. See, now remember, it was the grace, but you were saved through faith. But it was by the grace of God. See, so you got to have both components to make it work.
Amen.
Yeah, gracious, we're going to take us out of here. When you read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll see the last chapter, last verse, it's grace that's going to take us up out of here. And if you're not living on grace now, and you're not letting grace be in your ministry, if you're not letting grace be in your words, we're supposed to speak with grace. We're not to let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. Anything other than the word of God is corrupt. Don't tell me about the curse word. No, tell me about what's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
This is something you have to do. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. That's what we got to be doing. We got to be ministering grace to those that want to hear. We got to let them know about God's unmerited favor. We got to let them know that God's grace works for everything.
Yeah.
I got one more little thought I'm going to leave with you. And then anybody have any other thing you want to share? And thank you, Pastor, for bringing those scriptures back up. But one more thing. When I think about grace, I know when you go to the hospital, or used to anyway, it didn't matter what was wrong with you, they give you one of them psyllums. They put you in the psyllum family. Ampicillin, Penicillin. They had a psyllium for you because it worked. Whatever going on, just throw some psyllium up in them. And that's why I think about grace. Whatever going on, put some grace to it and watch what happens.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? Amen. Before we dismiss, anybody else? Any thoughts? Okay. So go ahead on and speak that thing. Declare it. Decree it.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the faith. Don't be ashamed. Don't. Well, I'll say I'm the light of the world when I ain't around them people who know what I've been. Them the ones you need to tell. The very ones that you was in the ditch with are doing this. Tell them, hey, God done saved me. God done delivered me. I'm the light of the world now.
Yeah. Amen.
By his stripes you are healed. You don't care nothing about no coughing, sneezing. Nah, that make it more powerful. So say, no, he ain't got you down. You still breathing, aren't you? All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you all.